Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. It is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8. We will get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. A lot of discussion on the Cam Ward front. Joe Wontexter says this. Says, speaking of delusional, if Cam Ward looks this bad throughout the rest of the season, what makes you think there won't actually be a legitimate quarterback competition next camp and preseason? How about that?
Yeah, well, you brought it up. We talked about it. I mean, I was like, hey, new coach. Maybe the new coach is like, you know, I think that Will Levis got something going on. But
are we taking that to the Levis discussion?
What I thought. That's what I thought you were talking about. I thought that this was a reference to that.
Guys, I want you guys to stop and actually think about this. Do you think that the new coach, whoever it is that they end up hiring, is going to look at this and say, you know what? If Cam Ward doesn't improve, like if he's not any better by the rest of the season, what I'm going to do taking the job next year is I'm going to waltz in here and my quarterback room is going to be Cam Ward and Will Levis. That's what I'm going to do. Like, do you honestly think that's the way that that's going to go? You know how the NFL works? Do we really think that?
And again,
because let me tell you what the more realistic part of that is. If Cam Ward doesn't get any better and they go hire a new coach, the new coach is probably going to be, hey, let's go draft a quarterback. That's the more realistic part of that.
Or go sign someone who has actually done well in the league. So this texture may not have been talking about Levis. So apologies if you weren't. If you could take Levis and Cam, then you could take their best features and combine them into one player, then you might have something. But, I think it makes sense for the Titans to – well, you know, look. So when did the Colts finally – this is year three for Richardson, right? This is year three for Richardson. I don't think that you do the let's bring in a starter type competitor in year two. I don't think so. You spent the number one overall pick on him. I think that you devote all. I mean, I think you want maybe a better backup.
The starting quarterback for the Titans next year is either going to be Cam Ward or it's going to be somebody that they talked themselves into drafting. That's what your two options are.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess if you think they could tuck themselves into drafting someone, it's possible. I think it would have to be really bad the rest of this
year.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah, like those are your options.
But if that's the case, then why wouldn't you? You could potentially sign a starter, right? Like, wouldn't that be the third?
I mean,
option?
You could if you. I would say if you're already to the point at the end of the year
like
where you're
Cousins,
ready to sign another starter, then you're probably moving on from the quarterback, and you're going to have the number one pick. So you're probably taking a quarterback.
Yeah, except that, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, and I this is going to be fast because we're not talking about the freaking draft.
No.
I really don't think there's a number one overall pick quarterback in this draft. But there wasn't in the last draft either, and the Titans still took a quarterback number one in the draft.
Exactly.
So I
– And again,
boy,
that by would, the way –
That'd be an amazing stacking of drafts. Woo!
By the way, we're still a long way from that. Like, we're a long way from – the Titans, I think, giving legitimate consideration to a quarterback next year. But I'm just saying, like, if Ward does not show any improvement at the end of the year, I guarantee you it will be a conversation around the league. Doesn't mean it's the right conversation. I guarantee you it'll be one, though.
Yeah. So we'll see. Well, that's the thing. When you bring in a new coach.
Exactly.
All the coaches, anyone you bring in. Now, first of all, I guess you interview coaches. I think you want them to like Cam Ward. And all that, but like you bring in a new coach, you don't know. He may not like Cam Ward. He may love a particular quarterback in the next draft. It's just, you know, when you change coaches, that's possible. But yes, like right now, I'd bet probably good money, and I'd say it's like 99% to me that Cam Ward's starting quarterback next year.
Yeah.
And he should be. Like you, you put him on a crap team with crap around him, with crap coaching.
Yep.
He's not very good, but yeah, that stuff also does matter.
No, and the bottom line is like, when you draft somebody number one overall, they just get a longer leash. That's the bottom. I mean, they should. Yeah. You're number one overall pick, and if you're Borgonzi, if you're Brinker, like if this doesn't work, you're probably gone, right? Like that's just what happens in the NFL when you draft a quarterback that high, and it doesn't work out. That usually doesn't mean good things for the front office and the coaches that are involved with it. And the coaches already paid the price, and we'll see.
Unless you're The Indianapolis Colts, who are going to destroy the Titans this weekend. Apparently with so. But one of the best teams I've seen in the NFL this year. So they drafted him, and Chris Ballard's fine, and we'll sign Daniel Jones, and Daniel Jones is awesome. So I don't know. I don't know anything about football, okay? let me just raise my hand right now. Sure.
By the way,
are a wagon.
Have you seen the line on the Titans Colts?
Like 12 or something?
It's 14.5.
Good God. NFL game.
14.5.
An NFL game. Oh, boy. Was it when we went through like the Titans, what games they could win?
Yeah, like I split with the Colts. Yeah.
They might sweep the Colts. I don't know. That's definitely a split though. Jeez.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
I guess good news is you're getting both of the games out of the way before the month of October ends. So,
like, he doesn't even need to do a song for this game. It's so embarrassing. You know what I mean?
Just like this week.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the week off.
Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Dustin in Hopkinsville to the program. Dustin, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I want to give a special good morning to Joe. I figured the sports writer didn't mind reading sports content coming from the fans, but that's okay. Not bothered. Anyways, so, yeah, Brian Callahan coached Will Levis and Cam Ward. Okay? It is clear yesterday that it was a lot different. At least
how is that clear? What was clear about it being a lot different? They scored 13 points.
Dude, they weren't even running the same plays. The trick plays were even different. Everything
they
was
scored
different
13 points,
offense.
Ran the ball for 33 yards. What was different
in
yesterday?
The whole game.
Yes, the whole game is the only thing that matters.
They had some good moments, but like I think people
were
like,
so exaggerating what happened yesterday because you guys hated Brian Callahan so much. You're begging for anything
yards?
To be different.
255 yards in the air?
Guys, he threw for 230 yards a couple weeks ago.
He had 200 yards in the fourth quarter against the Cardinals.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Like, they've had some good moments.
It did not look abysmal.
Okay.
Like, there was life in the offense. I mean, you can't sit here and say there wasn't.
They scored 13 points.
And when he got through two, he dropped both of them.
There were for a couple series. But
which is what they've been the last 3 years.
But they've had other games where they're life and for a couple series. I mean, again.
I'll say this. Like I said in the text, it wasn't perfect. I wish that they would have went to Spears a lot more because he obviously was getting more chunk plays than Pollard ever thought about. I don't care about the Honda Accord. I don't need good gas mileage. I need a damn dog at my running back, you know, my number one running back. That's a big problem there. Pollard is not the guy. I'm sorry. He may have been 2 or 3 years ago, but he's not the guy for us. We need a better running back for our young QB.
He was not very good yesterday. Not very good. No. Thank you, Dustin. I look, guys, again, I was ready to move on from Brian Callahan. Brian Callahan did a bad job. But we're talking ourselves into stuff yesterday that didn't happen. He scored 13 points in the game. They got shut out in the second half. It's the same script. Like, it's happening here for 3 years. So, like, we're trying to talk ourselves into things yesterday that didn't happen.
Yeah, and I get it. It's just like with the quarterback. Every good thing you see, you magnify that in your mind if you're a fan. I think, you know, I understand it. I've been there many times. And then the bad stuff you want, I mean, you know, you want to believe. Yeah, but I'm like, again, it looked good early, and then it faded, and that we've seen that many times. The idea that this offense wasn't, like, dramatically different or anything like that.
No.
It's probably not going to, like, again, we talked about last week, okay, more RPOs, you know, that's a comfortable thing for Cam. We talked about throwing downfield more, which definitely, again, they scored a touchdown. It was a really nice play. And then it just looked a lot the same
like
to me.
It looks like the same it's looked. Yeah.
But I do agree on – I mean, I agree on Pollard. He looks like he's like a lot of running backs when you get to a certain age and you kind of lose a little juice. I might even give Tyjae Spears a little bit more run here the way those two look compared to each other right now. But I think that's another position, unfortunately, that they're going to have to address. Now, you can get running backs.
The list is getting long.
Yeah, the list is very long. But you got to have a better running game. That's one thing I thought they'd be able to do this year at a decent clip, and it's not working out.
Not at all. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. A couple more of your thoughts to get to on Cam Ward. We will get into Vanderbilt's win against LSU as well. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 the game. Preds fan Smashville Live returns Wednesday night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 o'clock. See your Preds star players up close and personal. Preds player guests will be Adam Willsby and Justin Barron. That's this Wednesday night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. and on 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines.
Ultra BMW on the YouTube chat. Like, Robbie's about to snap. Ah! He's like, please, y'all, don't make Robbie snap on a Monday. I'm used to Joe yelling, but when Robbie yells, I laugh so hard, dude. Richard says,
glad I could bring comedic relief.
Mark from Ashton City agrees with Dustin. They're totally different offense. Totally different. Now, Callahan was like, let's do stuff that Cam sucks at. That's what I'm going to try. But these guys are like, hey, let's do stuff he's good at.
They look different
at this
for like one drive.
Transform. Again, like, they had good drives before. They had touchdowns before. They had good plays before. Could never sustain it. They could never really get into the 20s much. They would have a pretty good half, maybe a good quarter, and then at the end of the game, you're like, wow, what do they have? About 13 points. Yesterday, let's look at the – what was the final score? Oh, yeah, they got about 13 points. I mean, again, like, they try some different stuff, and like Mark's point is, well, what about his completion percentage going up? They're clearly trying everything. Look, I don't doubt that they're trying to figure that out, and like, let's do more stuff that suits him and all that. But
by the way, Cam Ward's completion percentage the last game out against the Raiders was 68.4. This one was 73.5.
Busts the narrative a little bit.
Yeah, so, like, again, they've clearly tried to call some plays closer to line of scrimmage to get it up, which is good. Like, I'm not saying it's a problem, but like, we're acting like he didn't just dramatically go up in a completion percentage last week when Brian Callahan was the coach. So that's what I'm saying. They're not doing things all that different.
Damn,
and by
you.
The way,
damn you!
I don't
your
blame
facts.
Them for that.
Get your facts.
But there's
out
always
of here.
Like, I mean, the same guy's calling plays. Like, it's the same guy calling plays. They got the same roster.
Same offensive coordinator. He is the offensive coordinator.
It's not like
I mean,
they
he's still
the,
here.
It's not like they changed the playbook. You can't change the playbook. You know, 7 weeks into the year. So, like, I'm sure that as the season goes on, Mike McCoy is going to want to emphasize some different things.
Yeah.
But there's only so much you can do right now, which is kind of my point.
Yeah. And it's a good point. I like how you made it calmly there. And there you go. See?
Oh, thanks.
See, it's okay. Yeah. We can do that. We can just talk calmly to each other.
Long fuse.
Yeah. I feel like you should be like me and be more calm and chill.
Yes.
And
that's what
just
I should.
Yell random crap all the time. And by the way, a texter wants to make sure, Ian, that you clipped up me saying I know nothing about football. I mean,
I'll make sure I get that.
Yeah. I just, that might come in handy. Saying.
Craig says, if that was totally different offense, I have to congratulate the Titans for finding two crappy offensive schemes in a row. Well done. They've outdone themselves.
Poor Liam. There's nothing left
to say.
We're
going to be able to not run the ball at all.
Yeah. Liam says there's nothing left to say. Even the anger and sadness are fading into apathy. Every hopeful light is snuffed into ash, we are left groping in the dark.
I did think
My
about
goodness,
that yesterday.
Liam. Poetic.
Because, you've made the coaching change, right? So there's that. And so now that's gone. Like, you're fading away from, like, the coaching bump or whatever. And now Vrabel, like, everybody, you know, people were looking forward to Vrabel coming back, and now that's gone. And now you look at the aftermath of it, like, all right, so the coach has been fired. Probably not going to get any news on the coaching search for a few more months. They're 1-6. Vrabel's gone, so the intrigue of that's gone at this point. You look at the rest of the season, you're like, man, there's still a long way left to go. Still a lot more football left to be played out there. I was kind of impressed with the crowd yesterday. I have no idea percentage-wise, like, how much was Patriots fans and how much wasn't, but there were more people in that building than I thought.
Yeah, did anybody get a sense for that? It did. It felt like... You know, the cheers for the Patriots plays might have been louder. I don't know. Yeah. But certainly, like, Patriots fans had a huge part in that. Good for Titans fans who showed up. How many Titans fans who showed up wanted to, like, show their love and respect for Vrabel?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Keith says, Levis deserves another chance and Mariota was great. Robbie, your thoughts? Just dive back in there.
Mariota got in the game yesterday for Washington.
Yeah, he was making some plays, and then, there goes
six.
The pick six.
Didn't go so well.
That's a tough one.
Did not go so well.
Yeah, as a Titans fan, I do wonder, are you rooting for the team to win anymore this year?
I think it's just like you're rooting for the quarterback. The thing is...
You don't want Ward to look terrible. That's a given, right? You don't want anybody to get hurt, but...
No, you'd probably like some higher scoring, well-played Cam Ward games that result in like 31-28 losses. I don't think you're going to get many of those, but that's probably the ideal
scenario. This would have been the last game you kind of want the team to win.
And as we heard from people last week, a lot they of them actually wanted Vrabel to come in here and
– and win anyways, but yep.
And, yeah, spank the dog buns, which he did.
He did. He did. On the interception front from yesterday. Now look, there's no doubt that some of the interceptions, if you go back and look at all of them this year, there have been a lot that have gone off the hands of receivers, deflected, and into the hands of a defender. I would still say, I mean, Ward has got to – he's got to make that throw yesterday on that pick. Yes, like in a perfect world, you want your NFL pass catcher – to be able to at least, like, knock that thing down, right? Like, get enough of it where it's not tipped and floating up in the air after that.
Sure.
But it's a bad pass. Like, it's a bad pass for an NFL quarterback. And there's been too many of those this year that he's just got to get down. Like, it's not a difficult pass there. Like, you got to dial that part of it in. And that's kind of the next step for him beyond, you know, holding on to the football and not fumbling it without somebody touching it.
You're gonna have more picks with – freaky stuff like that, but it's, again, it's because of your own inaccuracy. So it's, you know, it's, can it get better? Yeah, it can. Can it get better this year? I don't know. That's, again, it's the entire franchise is devoted to him getting better and maximizing what he has, but it, like, you can do everything around a game day and then you go out on the field and it's real. People trying to attack you, and it gets harder for sure. Billy from Bellevue says there were 70%. Can we say that word on the air? Probably not. Massachusetts people yesterday. I'm just going to avoid that word.
Good to know.
I like the word, but I'm going to avoid the word.
Yes. Vanderbilt with a very impressive win against LSU, and they move into the top 10 in the AP poll. We'll get into that coming up next. Tennessee falls to Alabama. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
I don't deal a lot in the headlines. I think ultimately we have a lot of season left. We're going to celebrate this win. I think we've earned the right to celebrate it. But this game won't define our season. And there's a lot more for this team to accomplish. You know, tomorrow we'll shift focus on Missouri, and that'll be a tough challenge for us. But that is tomorrow's issue. Today's about this team and this program and taking another step. And I'll let the headlines be what the headlines are. That's your job.
That's Clark Lee this weekend. Vanderbilt takes down LSU, 31-24, the final score. Vanderbilt improves to 6-1, which, yes, means they are bowl eligible. And somebody tried to talk about that with Clark Lee after the game, and he's like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, Teresa. I think Teresa asked the question. Yeah,
I don't care.
By the way, great feature, but real quick on Teresa. Did you see that?
I did.
It was awesome. Teresa and Vrabes.
Vrabster is just making the rounds with media members.
He is beloved.
He is.
Beloved by all.
Diego Pavia, 14 of 22 through the air, 160 yards, one touchdown. Also added 86 on the ground, couple of touchdowns that way, including, you know, that late scramble he had to get into the end zone. Just a huge play in the game. So we wondered, you know, heading into the game, Pavia not his best stuff against Alabama, a couple of turnovers in the red zone that were key, and he came out and looked like Diego Pavia on Saturday against LSU. They get the win 6-1. And they're number 10 in the AP poll now. So you're talking about a top 10 Vanderbilt Commodore football team.
1947.
Yep.
I'm going to try to do math. I think that was 78 years ago.
Nice.
That last time they were in the top 10. Remember when we were talking just not long ago about can Vandy do enough to get to a bowl game this year? Like, will they?
Yeah.
Can they find the wins?
Right.
Remember when we were talking about, like, can Clark Lee save his job at Vanderbilt?
Yeah. Not that long. I mean, 2 years ago.
I mean, it's amazing. It really is. And it's like credit to so many people, obviously, from the top, all the things. Actually, Caroline, were you on that text thread that Caroline Fenton sent this weekend?
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. She was making fun of Stilly because, you know, like, remember when he, like, Vandy United won't do anything? Yeah. And all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's all come true. If you have a chancellor who cares and you have an AD who's good, these things are possible, but even then, this era makes it more possible for Vanderbilt for sure. And then you eventually get to, you know, like next year, all the talk will be, okay, what will you do now without Pavia? He was the best player in the field. And to me, what's that?
We sure he's leaving?
Well, I guess that's a fair question. I think so. I would be trying to do, like, continuing lifelong education. grad, doctorate.
Getting my super doctorate at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, doctor. Yeah, you can get multiple doctorates. But listen, he was incredible. Best player in the field. And to me, even with the Alabama game, I think he's back in the Heisman race with that game.
He's
again,
in the race,
that,
yeah.
That means, you know, he's going to have some more tremendous performances and big wins. Like, they go into Texas. You know, I look at the rest of the schedule. This is a big game. Missouri's good. This is a
college game day.
College game day coming here. So Vanderbilt twice on game day this year. All of it is for the Vanderbilt fan. It's got to be dizzying, right?
Yeah.
It's all happening so fast. But the thing is, like, I really think that, yeah, like Abel says, Vandy proves the NIL is working. Yeah, and good coaching. I mean, Clark Lea is a culture builder and a really good coach. And people are going to be coming for him, by the way. They're going to be coming for him.
Yes.
His name's going to be thrown around there at a bunch of jobs. But I really, like, I think there are very, very few that could actually take him out of here. And it's an incredible situation for Vanderbilt.
It is. And by the way, they're a 2.5-point favorite against Missouri coming up this weekend right now.
That's kind of low.
On the FanDuel Sportsbook.
That's interesting. I would have guessed that might be a little higher. But Missouri is good. Like, it's going to be a good football game.
Yep, it's going to be and look, like you said, Pavia firmly in the Heisman mix right now. You know, Vanderbilt's defense, I think, still, like, you watch them, and it's not perfect. They've got flaws. But they'll also every now and then just make some huge plays where you're like, well, that's a big play in a big moment. And, you know, I don't know that that's, you know, if you're going up against a really good offense, how good is Vanderbilt's defense? I don't know. Like, Alabama – particularly as that game went on, you know, Ty Simpson and that's maybe the best passing attack in America right now, and they made Vanderbilt pay throughout that game. But again, on Saturday, some plays in that game where the defense just had to make a play, and they bowed up and they did it. And I think if you were thinking that this Vanderbilt team is fool's gold, that's done at this point. They're a very good football team, and it doesn't mean that they're getting into the college football playoff. But they got a shot, man. Like, they're 6-1. They got a very winnable game at home against Missouri. Texas has got a good defense. Texas' offense is all over the map. I thought they figured some things out against Oklahoma, which, by the way, is a really good defense. And they looked awful against Kentucky. Just looked terrible. You got Auburn. You got Kentucky. You got Tennessee. Like, if Vanderbilt wins this game against Missouri, there is no reason that they should not be
playing for a playoff spot.
9-2 at worst heading into the Tennessee game.
Yeah, I agree. It could, like, Vandy, Tennessee could be playing each other for a playoff spot. This is possible.
Well, and by the way, right now, and I know this may be obvious to some people because Tennessee has more losses than Vanderbilt does. Like, I think Vanderbilt's got a better shot right now than Tennessee. Like, I know Tennessee. The two hardest games on their schedule are done now. You've got Georgia behind you. You've got Alabama behind you. Oklahoma's at home. Who knows what that game's going to look like. And then you got Vanderbilt at home at the end of the year. So the two hardest games you've got coming up are both at home. But they still got to go to the Swamp, and they just fired Billy Napier, and who knows what that's going to look like down there. Like, at Vanderbilt, if they can beat Missouri, like, 9-2 should be the worst of what they're looking at heading into that Tennessee game.
Yeah. And they could win all these games. They could lose to Missouri. They could certainly lose at Texas. It's hard for me at this point to get to home games with Kentucky and Auburn. It's hard for me to see it. It's hard for me to see it. I mean, so right now we're talking. I feel good about 8. Okay, which is an extraordinary Vanderbilt season. But they can win them all. It's and like you said on their D, yeah, Fontenette, Sidnor, Hyde. They've got guys. Really, Saturday's game was really a two-touchdown. It was a two-touchdown win. You know, Pavia smartly goes down and doesn't go in the end zone, and good on him. I mean, you talk about high. I mean, that's a dude's a winner. Like, that's a – hey, add a touchdown. You got a 3-touchdown rushing day? No. He's like, no, let's kneel it, take the one – and then there's no chance at all of them coming in. But it was a two-touchdown win. And it's worse than that if not for a couple. Just like, especially the one long touchdown where, like, the entire team had a chance to either tackle – Nussmeier or the receiver,
yeah,
and somehow it was like a Keystone Cops play. Take those couple plays out, and it's a blowout.
And here's they have the look and the feel of a legitimately good football team.
Yeah,
I know I got some crap for this back in the day because you know, they were good under James Franklin, and they had good records under James Franklin. And James Franklin's a good coach. He's not a great coach, but he's a good coach. But the reality at the time also, and the Vanderbilt fans didn't want to hear this, but it was reality. At that time, Georgia was not Georgia.
Yeah.
Florida was not Florida. Tennessee was not Tennessee.
Right.
And it was the perfect storm that also helped Vanderbilt during that process. Well, guess what? Georgia's Georgia right now. Tennessee's Tennessee, and I know they hadn't played either one of those teams yet. But the SEC, I mean, we could talk about this, from top to bottom this year, is really freaking good. Like, it's good. And Vanderbilt looks like a legitimate threat and a legitimate contender. And that's the first time in my life, most people's life, that they could say that.
100%. Like, if they played Alabama, you know, do the 10 times thing. I mean, Alabama would win 6 or 7 times, but Vanderbilt would win 3 or 4 times. and right now, I think Alabama's probably the best team in the SEC, which, yes, I know is, wow, how refreshing. You Alabama fans finally get a break. You know, you finally have a good team. But if that's the high, you're right. The SEC is incredibly deep, incredibly deep. It's also not elite anywhere, elite, I don't think. I don't know if anybody is in college football this year. I mean, you know, Ohio State looks like it. And again, their best win is Texas at home in the opener. Texas, Arch Manning couldn't freaking, again, complete a pass the other day. But some people asked on the YouTube chat about Pavi in the NFL. I did talk to an NFL personnel person, actually, about Diego and some other people before the game. And, like, I think if he goes like in the 6th or 7th round, I can see that. That's probably about what you're looking at. But people love him.
Yeah.
Like the NFL, people love him, and they want him on this on their team. And he just has some physical, like his size is a problem. And I understand that's less of an issue in the NFL. He doesn't have like the cannon arm either. He's a ball player. I think he's going to end up somewhere. But yeah, he's not going to be a high pick.
Yeah.
There's nothing that he can do on the field this year to do that. He could be a Heisman winner, though.
Yeah, he could.
And you know what? Boy, we left Diego Pavia talking about national championships in the summer, didn't we?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Look, he's about my guess heading when I hadn't looked at this yet, but my guess on the Heisman odds list would be he would be about 6th, and I think he's 5th. So you've got Ty Simpson at number 1, which he should be. Fernando Mendoza, number 2. Julian Sayin, 3. Marcel Reed, 4. Pavia, 5. So that's where you're at right now.
I think Jeremiah Love should get a little more.
He is
Love, 8, pun intended,
on the list. Yeah,
but yeah. So it's like, so game day this week? Light up Missouri. I mean, I know it's Missouri, but it's still the game day feature. They're gonna do all kinds of stuff with Pavia this week. You know, so voters are gonna see that, and then you're gonna have the Texas. You're gonna have opportunities.
Yep. Let's quickly head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Freddie to the program. Freddie, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, sir. Good morning. How y'all guys doing?
Great.
Good.
Good. First of all, I think y'all are some of the best guys in the business, man. I really appreciate y'all.
Well, thank you, Freddie.
I'd like to make a comment. Okay. Out of last year's draft, I still think Kim Ward was probably the best quarterback we got in there. Now, by me being saying that, look at our offensive line for the last 3 or 4 years. They have been trash. I mean, the first round draft pick out of Georgia isn't paying out. The guy they got last year, I think, or year 4, number 77, he's okay, but they're still coming over him. The thing is, if we don't have no offensive line to protect a quarterback, I don't care if it's Peyton Manning, Mahomes, Tom Brady, or anybody. If we ain't got that offensive line to protect the quarterback, they're not going to be successful. Quarterback take the ball 3 steps back, and someone's on him. Now, yesterday's game, I don't know where that guy came from. I don't know if he was a linebacker, came right through. Nobody picked him up, knocked the ball out of Ken Warhead and went in for a touchdown. The kid don't have no receivers to throw to. And like one of your callers said, I agree. We should go out and get some receivers that can get open. Titans don't use the tight ends whatsoever. Why? I don't know. Now, if you're going to go in and three in and 3 out and bad play calling, you're going to kill the defense. And I think it's impossible for a team to win like that. But that's just my opinion. I don't know how everybody feels about it, but I really appreciate y'all taking my call.
Thank you, Freddie. Appreciate it. The only thing I would disagree with Freddie there is, like, mostly good points. The linebacker did not knock the ball out of Cam Ward's hand. He just dropped it.
So yeah.
Just don't drop the ball, and maybe you avoid complete disaster on that play. But by and large, the point is stands.
There's a lot of bad stuff around him, no doubt.
Let's quickly welcome in Bruce to the program. Bruce, good morning. Thank you for calling in. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
You were just talking about the possibilities.
Bruce, I think we're having some phone issues.
Sorry, Bruce. It sounds like Tron 3 on the
air. We're going to have to reconnect. I think we got some phone issues going on with Bruce. We'll get Bruce's thoughts a little bit later in the show. We do have the Rob Rant coming up next. Corey Curtis
from
News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock.
Get mad.
All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
We the Detroit Lions. Stop playing with us.
Baby hands, and he hit his baby hands.
I have these tiny hands.
Wave to me, Kenny. Wave.
The lower area is perfectly covered.
Quit being a loser.
It's going to make him look even tinier.
Give me a hug, Kenny. Yes, the whole game is the only thing that matters.
But I heard everybody already picked the Packers over us. Stop playing with us.
In what ways has he been a great addition?
Who's got the next question, Robbie?
It is time for the Rob Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. There's about, I don't know, seven different ways I could go with this today. I'm going to go here. So, lost in all of the great football this weekend was the Tony Vitello saga at Tennessee, which I guess is still ongoing.
Yeah.
On Saturday, it looked like it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to become the next manager of the San Francisco Giants. And then apparently he was at Tennessee practice yesterday out there on the field. So, I guess no decision has been made yet. The Giants are still in the process of trying to land a deal with Vitello to get him to be the next manager in Major League Baseball there. I will say, though, you look, I saw some reaction from Tennessee fans. Most of it was measured. I don't know if calm is the right word, but it was at least like, well, you know what? I don't like it, but I get it. Like, you're going to Major League Baseball. It's the San Francisco Giants. At least you're not leaving going to, you know, LSU or Arkansas or something like that. Most of what I saw on Saturday, which I was pleased by. I did see like this certain subsection of Tennessee fans that went back to that clip that Vitello had a few years ago after they won the national championship, where it's like, you're either a Vol or you're not. You're either a Vol. You're like, this guy sucks. This guy's so phony. He's so fake. He's not a true Vol. And I was like, guys, do you know, you guys understand how sports work? First off, I've got a message to all of you. The bottom, and the sooner I think you wrap your mind around this, the better off from a mental health standpoint I think you'll be. The bottom line is most of these coaches, almost all of these coaches, pick your sport, college, pro, whatever. You have more loyalty to your team than they do, okay? So let's get that straight.
Right.
Now, that also brings up an interesting situation like you mentioned a few minutes ago. Clark Lee at Vanderbilt, maybe a little bit different because he went to Vanderbilt. And he played at Vanderbilt.
He grew up in Nashville.
So I think it's going to be, like, if somebody is going to pry Clark Lee away from the Vanderbilt job, it's probably going to have to be a pretty special set of circumstances and a pretty darn good job, would be my guess. Vitello, I have no doubt, loves Tennessee, has loved his time at Tennessee. But, guys, this is Major League Baseball. This is the San Francisco Giants. He would be an idiot to not consider this heavily. So, to the certain subsection of Tennessee fans that were like, this guy sucks, this guy stinks, he's dead to me because he's considering taking the San Francisco Giants managing job and going straight from college head coach to a manager in Major League Baseball.
Which has never happened
in the history of the sport. I think you're not having realistic expectations here. It doesn't mean that Tony Vitello is a fraud. It doesn't mean that Tony Vitello doesn't love Tennessee. You know what you should do? You should say, hey, man, appreciate you making baseball relevant at Tennessee, and thanks for winning the national championship. And, oh, by the way, if it doesn't work out in San Francisco, if you end up going there, we'll take you back. Come on back. That should probably be your attitude here.
Yeah. Yeah, like this is like the San Francisco Giant. Like this doesn't happen. Like I went to VolQuest just to see, you know, like, so I got a thread here that says, Tony's situation reminds me of Rick Barnes in UCLA. No, because see, that's leaving for another college job, which, you know, yes, like, I know Rick, you know, like, UCLA job has a lot of allure, especially for someone of a certain age. This doesn't happen. And as great as we love college baseball, I mean, college baseball is a great thing.
Particularly here.
Regionally.
Yeah.
You're right. But there is a bigger, I mean, like, you compare, like, college football and the NFL. I mean, look, you could make the case. You could compare salaries. You could, like.
Yeah, there are some jobs in college football that are definitely better than NFL jobs.
100%. I mean, college baseball and Major League Baseball, like, there's a pretty big gap, right, in the everything about it, including the pay, by the way. And if, you know, I don't know exactly what the pay would be here, but I will tell you, it will be a massive raise that will more than make up for moving from Knoxville to the San Francisco area, you know. So, now, well said on your part. It's like, guys, just tip your cap. The guy grew up in Missouri. He was like a Missouri fan and St. Louis yeah. sports fan. Like, this is – everybody is ultimately – I mean, they're just a mercenary. Right? Yeah. That's what yeah. it is, right? Like, you get a job, you get hired someplace, and, of course, you value loyalty, talk about loyalty. And if he would have left for Texas, be mad at him. He could have.
Sure.
He didn't, right? If he would have left for LSU, whatever it is, be mad at him. You know, go to another team in your league or something like that. But yeah, this one, you gotta give him a break. Well,
and by the way, the deal's not done.
Yeah.
Which would suggest to me that there's some internal struggle going on here for him, trying to figure out what to do. And like, doesn't that kind of tell you something?
I've seen this happen before. I've seen this happen before where executive assistant to the regional producer, Tom Izzo, we all thought he was taking that Cleveland Cavaliers job, and then it was about a 10 days of stalking him at his office, and he sat there and he struggled, and he eventually came back. And I think there's, you have to at least allow for the possibility that he's ultimately gonna, you know, decide not to go. But we'll see
what happens on that front. But if he does take the San Francisco Giants job, let's not act like that's some like just a crazy decision that he's making. Pretty good job. Major League Baseball, man. Going from college to Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
For the first time ever.
Yeah.
Does not happen.
And by the way, like, of all people, because I believe Corbin's had this. I think he's had an opportunity. I know he's had a lot of other
guys. I'm sure he has. Yeah.
And he, you know, like, to me, like, kind of fits the bill of more like the Major League manager. I mean, Tony, in a way, would be one of the last people I would think for this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But hey, man, MLB needs some juice. Let's get the 21st century Billy Martin out there just screaming it. I'm in for it.
We're going to
sorry, Tennessee fans.
By the way, we're going to see a lot of this too, which I kind of had similar thoughts on Saturday. Cameron says, as a Tennessee fan, what Vitello did was cool. But I'm more than happy for him to move on so we can take the money we've been dropping into baseball, put it in football and basketball. It's like, stop giving any money at all to baseball, put it in football.
See, the question I have to that, and it is interesting. I think with Vitello, there aren't a lot of places. I was thinking about this, like, how many places have four programs that, like, they're serious enough about that they put money into them? Tennessee puts money into both basketballs. And baseball, and to the credit of the coach, the women's basketball is obviously a traditional power, but, you know, credit to Rick Barnes, credit to Tony Vitello, they've made it that way. There are some places where, like, I would be shocked if football ever actually lost out on anything in this.
Yes.
But if you have Tony Vitello out there like, hey, man, what? I need that. And if you have Rick Barnes, like there is, like, fighting for resources that happens, and then at places where they don't, like Georgia. Do they care about their hoops or baseball? No. I mean, you know, it's not very good in any front. I think there is a little something to, but I think there's especially something that, not really on the football side, but for a Vitello, right?
Yeah.
Who's like both hoops programs?
Don't have to worry about that, San Francisco Giants.
That's right.
Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us. Coming up next, we'll get his thoughts on the Titans' loss to the Patriots. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.